No Valentines by Ivan W. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. So what are you getting Spock for Valentine's Day? Bones asked him as they sat in the mess having breakfast. Jim's mouth dropped open and he stared at his friend. Valentine's Day? Yeah, you know, that day for lovers to exchange gifts to show their undying love for each other. Bones made a bit of a gagging noise. He frowned. I know what Valentine's Day is, Bones. It's coming up soon. Jim shrugged. What does that have to do with me and Spock? Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim. But didn't you just ask Spock to marry you? Well, yeah. But I didn't give him something for last Valentine's Day, did I? Jim asked, frowning. He didn't, did he? You didn't get together until toward the end of March, Bones said. Yeah, you sure about that? You remember exactly. Jim, the day I found the two of you kissing inside the turbo lift is etched into my mind. Trust me, I remember. Jim flushed. Yeah, totally my fault. Spock was mad. His friend snorted. Really? Was that before or after his tongue was down your throat? Bones. Well, don't tell me that hobgoblin was all affronted and blamed you for getting caught when he couldn't keep his hands to himself any more than you could. I didn't mean he was really mad, just annoyed. Bones snorted again. When isn't he annoyed? For someone who claims to have no emotions, he seems to have quite a few, especially where you're concerned, and he forgets I was there when he was weeping over your injured body just before that. Jim rolled his eyes. He wasn't weeping, Bones. Practically. He was plastered to your side the whole time you were in medbay and bit my head off when I tried to make him leave. For Spock, that's weeping. Anyway, the point is, I didn't get him anything last year. You weren't together last year, Bones pointed out. Yeah, but you know Valentine's Day is really not my thing, and I'm pretty sure it isn't Spock's thing either. You do have a point there. And anyway, what the hell would I give him? No chocolate. And I'm allergic to most flowers. Honestly, Bones, I don't think I have to worry about it. I did say Spock was the most unromantic being around. Jim knew better, of course. When Spock got growly and possessive and in those biting moods, well, it sure was romantic to him. But let Bones think what he wanted. What he and Spock did was private. Speaking of the Day of Lovers, Jim said, deciding a change of subject was in order, are you getting Shayla something? Of course. We've only been seeing each other for a couple of weeks, though, so I have to keep it simple. Jim finished his coffee. Yeah, why is that? The rules of early relationships, Jim. He laughed. There are rules, huh? What else is a rule besides nothing fancy for Valentine's Day? You never want to be the first to say I love you. What? Jim frowned. Wait, I think I was. Bones rolled his eyes. That doesn't surprise me. And you don't blurt it out during sex. Ah, geez. His friend smirked. Broke both of those, huh? Yeah, but I didn't know they were rules. He shook his head. You're full of information. I know it. Full of something, anyway, Jim muttered. Anyway, how soon is too soon to say it, I mean? You didn't say it your first time, did you? No, Jim protested. I already did love him, though. But no, neither of us said it for the first few months of being together. Jim remembered it well, actually. Spock had been injured by some creature with claws during an away mission. They'd brought him up to the ship, shredded and with blood everywhere. Bones saved him, which Jim would forever be grateful for. Their first night making love after Spock got out of the med bay, Jim couldn't help but blurt out, I love you. Spock had stiffened. For an ice-cold minute, Jim thought he'd made a terrible error. And then Spock had held him so tight, Jim thought Spock might break his ribs. Spock had whispered, I love you too, Jim. And Jim could breathe again. Bones nodded. You're good then. Jim laughed. You and your rules. I'm going to get more coffee. he went over to the replicator and ordered more. And when he turned around, he saw Uhura had joined Bones. Jim grimaced. He really tried not to, but he still had trouble with her. It was one of the few points of contention between him and Spock. Spock didn't understand why Jim was still jealous of her when he was with Jim. And Jim, well, he still couldn't get the image out of his head of her kissing Spock in front of him on the transporter pads before they'd gone off to fight Nero. It had been like she was throwing it in his face. Plastering on his captain's smile, he resumed his seat across from Bones. Neota. Good morning, she said pleasantly. Where's Spock? He squashed down his initial annoyance that she immediately brought up Spock. They were a couple. It was only natural to ask where his other half was, right? He wanted to finish up a report, so he told me to come ahead to breakfast. He'll probably be along soon. She nodded. What are you getting him for Valentine's Day? Wait, what? You too? What? Uhura exclaimed. You are getting him something, aren't you? No, Jim said. I hadn't planned on it. She stared at him with wide eyes. This is Spock we're talking about. He doesn't care about stupid Earth traditions. Jim suddenly felt uncertain. Did he? Well, when you were with him, did you give him stuff? Uhura shrugged. Nothing big, like romantic cards or romantic dinner. But our relationship was never what yours is like. And that is... You're really clueless sometimes, aren't you? She shook her head. Let me explain something, Captain. Spock agreed to marry you. I think that says everything you need to know. Jim opened his mouth to respond, but wasn't really sure what to say. She had a point. And then with an almost preternatural awareness of him, Jim turned to see Spock enter the mess. Spock's gaze briefly flickered, not to their table, but to Jim himself. And yeah, maybe Jim was starting to get it. Spock stopped at the replicator and chose his food. Then he came to their table and sat beside Jim. Jim glanced at what he'd chosen. Tea, of course. Tea that sort of smelled like dirt to him. Besides tea, Spock had a bowl of fruit and some oatmeal. Jim smiled at him. Get your report finished? Affirmative. And three other reports as well, including your report on the last mission. His smile widened at the smugness he detected in Spock's voice. Thank you, Mr. Spock. You are welcome, Captain. If you two are going to make eyes at each other, I'm leaving, Bones grumbled. Good day, Doctor, Spock said. I didn't say I was leaving, Spock. I said I would leave if you two didn't stop. Bones, how come you always take Spock's side? The captain is quite intelligent, Doctor, Spock said, taking a bite of his oatmeal. Bones rolled his eyes and stood. Okay, now I really am leaving. I should be moving along too, Uhura said, also rising. See you on the bridge. Bones and Uhura left, leaving Jim with only Spock. Spock looked at Jim, arched his eyebrow. What? What makes you think there's anything? I believe I know you by now. Jim sighed and lifted his mug to his lips. Spock, what do you think of Valentine's Day? I cannot actually say I have any thoughts on Valentine's Day. Aha, I knew it. Clarify. Well, it's just a made-up day, right? To make people spend money on shit no one really needs. And for what? To prove they love you? Like an object does that anyway. Jim shook his head. Stupid, huh? May I inquire why you are even bringing up the subject of Valentine's Day? Bones and Uhura brought it up. He shrugged. I guess it's coming up soon. And this is a day of significance. I guess to humans. Women, mostly, I think. Lovers are expected to give their sweethearts gifts to prove their love. Jim finished his second cup of coffee. Stupid, right? Indeed, it does seem illogical. Jim sighed with relief. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page about it then. You ready to go to the bridge? Yes, Captain. Chapter 2. God, he was so fucking tired. His shift had run twice as long as it should have since there had been a Romulan attack. The ship had been damaged, but not badly. And there had been only 2 casualties and 15 injuries. Jim counted that as a victory. He'd just come from the med bay, checking on those that had been injured. Bones had been growly as usual, but otherwise most of the injuries were not serious. Wearily, he leaned against the nearest corridor wall. He just wanted a hot shower, sleep, and some hours spent in Spock's arms. Jim touched the comm on the wall. Computer, locate Commander Spock. Commander Spock is in the captain's quarters. Jim smiled. Good. Meant he wouldn't have to go looking for his lover. You all right, Captain? An ensign asked as he walked by. Fine, Ensign Grover, thanks. He rubbed his temples and yawned. Then he straightened and made his way to the turbolift. As soon as he entered his quarters, he froze in his tracks. On his desk, where his terminal usually would be, was a white tablecloth and candlesticks and wine glasses. Spock stood beside it, dressed casually in black pants and a black t-shirt, his hands clasped behind his back. Are those real candles? Jim blurted out the first thing that came into his head. Yes. The beat of his heart had increased so much he thought it might burst right out of his chest. Jim swallowed. What is this? I believe it is referred to as a romantic dinner. He licked his overly dry lips. No one had ever done a romantic dinner for him before, with fucking candles. Where did Spock get candles? Will you sit? Spock asked quietly. Actually, he wanted to turn and walk back out and pretend he hadn't seen any of it. What the fuck? Spock had agreed with him about Valentine's Day, and Jim had nothing for him, nothing. Jim? Jim nodded and made himself move forward. He took the seat Spock gestured to and then watched as Spock went to the replicator to get their dinner. Just to have something to say, Jim said, wine? I didn't think you drank alcohol. I do not. Yours is synthetic red wine, while mine is grape juice. Spock, he bit his lip, this is really nice, but you... We weren't going to do anything for Valentine's Day, we agreed. I did not. I agreed it was illogical. Jim sighed. Yeah, but I don't have anything for you. I didn't do anything. And God, now he felt like the biggest ass in the universe. Jim, I did not wish anything from you. You have enough to do as captain of the Enterprise. It was not necessary for you to expend energy on getting a gift for me. I wished to do this for you. Please accept it. He blew out a breath. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Spock placed a plate that contained a hamburger and fries on it. He grinned. Thank you. Perhaps a less extravagant meal than is usually associated with a candlelight dinner, Spock said, his voice threaded with amusement. He took his seat across from Jim, and the plate he set in front of himself contained grains and vegetables. This is perfect. My favorite meal, you remembered, Jim said, picking up the hamburger. It is not difficult to recall when you mention it every 3.4 days. I do not. Jim took a bite, closed his eyes, and swallowed. Damn, it's good, too. Thank you. Your continued exclamation of your gratitude is not necessary. I am pleased to have done this for you. Well, I still think I was sort of tricked. Clarify. You know very well I thought you had agreed to do nothing for Valentine's Day. Acknowledged. But as I said, I preferred that you did not stress yourself out over it. A romantic dinner isn't so bad, not too extravagant, Jim smiled. At least you didn't do gifts. When they had finished the meal, Spock insisted Jim sit on the couch and relax while he cleaned up. It was kind of strange. Spock was not generally romantic, not like the ordinary romantic anyway. When Jim reached for his pad to do some work while Spock cleaned up, Spock had snatched the pad out of his hand and told him there would be no work done. Jim sighed and leaned back against the couch. Are we going to play chess? Negative. Do you desire another glass of wine? Spock asked. Nah, how about some tea? And not that stuff you drink that smells like dirt, regular tea. Spock went to the replicator and obtained 2 cups of tea. He set one in front of Jim and one on the table next to it. Then Spock went to the door of the bathroom between their quarters and disappeared inside without a word. Jim shrugged and took several sips of tea before Spock reemerged. He held a small silver box decorated with a tiny little metallic red bow. The cup of tea rattled in Jim's hand. "What the hell is that?" he demanded. "It is your Valentine's Day present," Spock said simply. "Oh my God, seriously? Spock, but..." "Perhaps you should set the teacup down on the table before you spill tea and scorch a very important part of your anatomy to both of us." His chest constricted and he was finding it hard to breathe. He shook his head rapidly. "Jim," Spock said gently. He put the box down and removed the teacup from Jim and placed it on the table. "There is no need to panic." "There isn't? Spock, you can't give me a present. I don't have anything for you." God, he really was an idiot. Bones and Uhura told him he should get Spock something, and he had stubbornly refused to listen. "I don't do Valentine's Day. I thought you didn't do it, and now..." Spock sat on the couch beside him and took Jim's hands in his. "I have told you multiple times I do not need a gift from you. I do not say things I do not mean. You know this." "But..." Spock rested his fingers on Jim's lips. "Will you open the box?" Jim exhaled slowly and then nodded. "Okay." Spock reached for the box and then handed it to Jim. "It is of significance for both of us." Jim met his gaze and saw nothing but love and acceptance there. No judgment, no disappointment. He licked his dry lips and raised the lid of the silver box. Inside were two masculine titanium wedding bands. There were carvings of symbols and words on them. Jim studied them intently. "Those are Vulcan," Spock explained quietly. He nodded and swallowed the lump in his throat. He stroked a fingertip over the rings. "You asked me to marry you. Now I would ask the same of you. Jim, will you become my husband? My bondmate?" "Yes," he whispered, knowing his voice sounded shaky. Jim closed his eyes for a brief minute, and when he opened them, he thought maybe he had some sort of control again. "What does it say?" "This is the Vulcan heart. This is the Vulcan soul." Jim smiled. If it was a little wobbly, who could blame him? "And Bones says you aren't romantic." Spock's eyebrow rose. "The doctor does not know everything." He laughed. "That's for sure." "Jim," Spock said, closing his fingers around Jim's, "there is no one I would rather spend my life with than you. I would kill for you. I would die for you. You must know that by now." Against his will, his eyes welled with tears. Only this Vulcan could pull this out of him. "Yeah, I just don't know why." Spock sighed. It always amused Jim when he did, because it seemed like he was the only one who was able to draw a sigh out of Spock. "You're getting annoyed," Jim said. "You do manage to frustrate me more than anyone I have ever known," Spock admitted. "It takes a lot of patience to deal with me." "It does, but not for the reasons you usually imagine. I want to shake you when you do not realize your worth and qualities. I have never known anyone better." "You haven't known a lot." "Cease," Spock growled. And just like that, he was on top of Jim, covering him with his body, crushing him into the couch. "You will receive extra bites for that." Jim's lust instantly kicked up a notch, his nostrils flaring. He asked, "Yeah? And when will those bites be, Commander?" "Clearly, you deserve your punishment now, Captain Brat." Jim darted his tongue out to trace his lips, knowing Spock would watch him intently. "Yeah, punish me. I so deserve it." "You are incorrigible." "Want to punish me for that, too?" Jim asked with a grin. Spock rose off him and then pulled Jim up by the collar of his command shirt. Jim was surprised it didn't rip. He was pushed roughly onto the bed. His dick was so hard now, he was surprised it didn't pop the seams of his uniform pants. He watched as Spock yanked off Jim's boots and tossed them into the wall. God, he loved when Spock got like this. Jim might be crazy, but he was totally looking forward to Pon Farr. He'd said that once to Spock, and his Vulcan had assured him he would change his mind when it occurred. Spock rid himself of his own boots and then pulled off his black t-shirt in one precise movement. Should I hum striptease music? Spock sighed again. I would rather you did not. Humming is not one of your talents. Oh, man, you just broke my heart. Do you know how you look best, Jim? Jim narrowed his eyes because he saw the twitch of amusement around Spock's mouth, even as he had begun to lower his pants. How? With your mouth closed. Now you are so going to get it. Given your puny human strength, I very much doubt it, but you are welcome to try. Spock finished removing his own clothes and reached for Jim, but Jim scrambled out of the way in time for Spock to get nothing but empty space. His Vulcan growled, which of course tightened Jim's balls and made him impossibly harder. He tried to make it across the room to the bathroom, but of course Spock was faster than he was, and grabbed him around the waist and hauled his body flush against Spock's. You do not actually think you will get away, do you? Jim licked his lips. Can't blame a guy for trying. He found himself pushed back to the bed and then flat on his back, without Spock even slightly out of breath. Totally unfair, but at least Spock was quite visibly aroused. You get turned on pushing me around, don't you? Affirmative. Jim scoffed. You don't even bother to deny it. Why should I? We both know the truth of it. Spock lowered himself onto Jim and fastened their lips together. You are mine. We both know that, too. Possessive Vulcan. Spock's eyes darkened. You have no idea. Oh? Once we have bonded, you will know just how far my possession of you goes. Jim swallowed. Okay, you might think that's going to scare me, but fuck, it just makes me really horny. That does not surprise me, Spock said, sounding amused. His gaze went to Jim's gold shirt. Shall I rip another one? I dare you. Spock shook his head. Incorrigible. He grabbed the collar and tore it down the middle. Ugh. What was that, Captain? Spock tore the undershirt too, exposing Jim's chest. Fuck. Jim trembled with lust. I intend to, Spock promised. He pulled the remnants of Jim's shirts off and threw them aside. Then he leaned over Jim and fastened his teeth to Jim's neck and collarbone. Ouch. God, your fucking teeth are sharp. You do whine a lot, do you not? Jim laughed. If everyone else could see how you really are, they'd be shocked. Spock's lips curved. Perhaps. Lift up. Jim did, and Spock peeled his pants and briefs off like an old pro. Of course, at this point, he was an old pro at getting Jim naked. And how hot was that, knowing Spock had been his for almost a year? And then Spock was biting him again, biting his nipples, and Jim whimpered. Yes, Spock said. I like that. Jim closed his eyes and whimpered again. Suddenly, Spock was biting Jim's lips, sucking on them, pulling them with his teeth, and Jim was lost, pushing up against Spock, trying to get closer, trying to feel everything there was to feel. He wanted to be fully possessed by Spock. He was flipped onto his stomach, and Spock continued his assault, biting the back of Jim's neck, then lowered to his back, down his spine, to his cheeks. Ouch, ouch, ouch! He felt a rumble of laughter. He knew it was from his Vulcan, and God, he loved seeing the playful part of Spock no one else ever got to see. It belonged only to Jim. Spock, I'm going insane. Fuck me already. Want to feel you inside me. I'll beg. You do beg, pretty. Please, please, please. Mine, Spock growled. Then he was grabbing the lube, and Jim felt two slicked fingers inside him. He pushed back against them, seeking deeper entry. "I'm ready," Jim said. "Spock, I'm ready." "No, you are not. I will not hurt you."
"You won't."
"I fucking swear, Spock, please, just do it." "Jim." Spock's fingers withdrew, and then he was pushing into Jim past the tight ring of muscle, and then balls deep. Jim rose up on his knees, plastering his back to Spock's front, as Spock gripped Jim's hip bones and rutted roughly into him. It was intense. It was hard. It was dirty. It was perfect. Just as it always was between them. Their bodies fit together in synchronicity. Spock's fingers spread out over Jim's scalp, threading through his hair, and he felt a low pulse of something, a warmth maybe, spread through him. Jim reached for his cock and stroked it, his grip hard, rough, demanding the release of orgasm. And then Spock groaned his name, and it was too much, too intense. Jim came, cum jetting from his dick all over his fingers as Spock tensed behind Jim, emptying inside him. They collapsed as one on the bed, breathing heavily. After long moments of them both sort of half asleep, Jim's gaze found the box containing their rings on the table. "So we're really going to do this, huh?"
"Affirmative."
"Wear rings and everything?"
"Is that not your preference?"
"Yeah, yeah, it is. I want everyone to know you're mine, and I'm yours."
"They already know that, Jim."
"I know, but it's different," he shrugged. "I like a grand statement, I guess."
"But nothing is more of a grand statement than bonding, huh?"
"Yes." "You know when I went to that mirror universe with the really emotional Spock who is captain?"
"The one where you were the science officer," Spock nodded. "I am unlikely to forget. We were parted for too long. Your counterpart that came to our universe was really quite timid compared to you."
Jim laughed. "Yeah, a timid Kirk. Nuts. Anyway, they were bonded. He told me all about Vulcan bonds then."
"He did. You did not tell me this."
Jim stared at him intently.
"I wasn't sure you wanted that from me."
"If you would ever want that from me.
You had never mentioned it, so I was a little afraid to mention it."
Spock nodded and kissed him gently.
"I should have told you before that I wish to bond with you someday. The fault is mine."
"No. But I am glad we're going to now. And I still want the marriage ceremony, too."
"I will indulge you. You are my Tahila."
Jim frowned a little. He used that term, too, to speak of his Jim. "What is that, exactly?"
Spock smoothed his thumb over Jim's swollen lips. "A soulmate."
"Yeah?"
"Indeed. As you will soon see. Are you pleased with Valentine's Day?"
Jim smiled and kissed Spock. "I think I could definitely learn to like it with you."
The end.